Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, gee, I'll tell you what, husband of the year, Mark Ricciuto.
What do you mean?
Mel, the button pusher, I need to bring you in on this. How do you think?
Sure.
I went last night, I went to the Feathers Hotel for a meal.
On a school night.
On a school night, on a Monday night, early night. Next minute, all of these rowdy women come walking, and Roo's let Mel out. He's let Sarah out on a Monday night.
Oh, and did the chains and everything.
Let her
out. Yeah. I didn't get much saying it, though, Dits.
I said to her, well, you know, putting kids to bed. I go, no, he's doing all that shit. I just walked out. I left.
You
she
and
did.
Six kids, Roo.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. On a Monday
That's
night.
Why I'm tired and grumpy today. Oh. Good on
you, Sarah.
Oh, husband of the year again, Roo.
Yeah, I let her out on a Monday. I go out Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So, what a fair trade.
That's all in balance.
Yeah. I'll take that. Hey. That's fair.
No worries.
Yeah, well, you got to let them out every now and then to get a little bit of
sun.
Do you think so? Just a little bit. Right. A bit of vitamin D.
Yeah, as long as they're not out too long, I always.
No, don't worry about that.
Yeah, what's coming up today, Roo?
Oh, we've got a big show. Tex Walker's going to join us today. Have a bit of a chat about where the Crows are at.
Look, a lot of people saying a heck of a lot about Tex Walker at the moment, and they have been for a few weeks. And I, from where I sit, and it's not because he's coming in and we love him. It's unfounded. It's unfair.
Yes, well, that's what happens when you're the captain of the Crows. If it's good, it's great. If it's bad, it's really bad. So he's just got to stand up and say what he believes. Mm. He'll be right. He's a tough boy, Tex, and... certainly not all his fault at the moment. He's going okay, but he'd love to be going a lot better. And hopefully they can go a lot better. I think it's not great, but you'd rather be in a bit of a rut in the middle time of the year rather than the end of the year. So let's see if they can get out of it anyway, Dits. That's the main thing.
Good point. Now, you know, yesterday you would have heard all day on Triple M, and we mentioned it first up yesterday morning about Michael Franzese.
Mm.
This is the guy that we spoke to at length last year. We even flew to Melbourne to hear him speak. He's the only person to have ever successfully left the mob. We're talking the mafia, the highest of the mafia in New York.
Yep.
Anyway, his old man's been bunged up and he's been let out of prison aged 100. And Michael Franzese yesterday agreed to talk to us and tell us the story because his father, his own dad, had a contract out on his life.
Yeah, and as you can understand, he's not the easiest bloke to get hold of.
And now we can't
find
him.
He's got a few things on his mind.
So there's a reason, the big build-up to this is now he's gone missing. Well, but Michael, if you're listening, you know, if you've got tune in radio or whatever, and you're listening,
you're on at 8:10.
You're on at 8.
If you can just work out what time that is in New York, get your alarm set.
You know, there was a big family wedding yesterday, which is why he couldn't speak to us yesterday.
Don't joke about it. Dits.
I'm not.
Don't joke about it.
All right. Let's move on.
All right. Well,
we are trying to get him. We're not ducks and drakes here.
No,
the truth.
And the Wags will be on later on. The Angels will be on. We'll have a chat about a few things in that area as well, Dits. So we've got a big show.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Drew, what's making news?
Glenn Archer's in the news.
He's
been bloody charged with assault or something. I think he's been charged with assault.
He has.
He certainly stepped over the line a little bit. Archie was at an under-15s footy game where his son was playing and sounded like there was an incident where a kid got...
manhandled.
Manhandled
is the way I put it.
And then I think the runner got involved from the opposition and Arch said that he got involved because he thought the runner accused the kid of doing the wrong thing. He admits that he shouldn't have got...
But the runner manhandled the kid, though.
He manhandled the kid.
That's when Glenn Archer fired up.
Okay.
He jumped the fence and said, "You don't do that, mate."
Yeah.
And a couple of things came out of
it. At the same time, while he shouldn't have been jumping the fence and getting involved.
That's right. A couple of things come out of it, Roo, is that it's Glenn Archer as well. And unfortunately, when you're a well-known person like that, you've got to think, well, I don't know, I'm thinking of this on the run. You're a well-known ex-footballer. Or are you just the dad that's standing there?
Mm.
In either case, you're not meant to jump the fence.
No.
But the thing that comes out to me, Ruin, you're going to spend the next few years watching your kids. When something happens untowards to your child or someone you know very well, very difficult to bite your tongue, say nothing.
Especially when you got white line fever.
Not even that. I'm not saying we should all jump the fence at any time, but he saw what he thought was an adult a boundary umpire, manhandle a kid, and he came, and it was happening in front of him, so he jumped the fence. I half applaud him doing what he did. However, I don't condone jumping the fence either. So
no,
I'm really,
and he said that.
I'm really, and this is the other thing I liked about it, is yesterday he came straight out and fronted Channel 7 and said, look, this is what happened. Rather than going to hiding and, you know, batten down the hatches inside his house, he came out on the front foot and was honest and said what happened.
He really thinks he knows he did a little bit wrong, but he was doing it for the right reasons. So, and he is a ripper of a bloke. You won't hear anyone say a bad word about Glenn Archer. So we'll discuss that later on, because it happens a lot, doesn't it, Dits, in sport, when, you know, even I think we might even know someone close to us that's done it before, don't we? Or
maybe.
Maybe. Okay. We'll discuss that later on. Hey, the weapon, the man, Essendon, who was one of the fitness coaches there, Dean Robertson, he's got a gig at the Sydney Roosters, a side that actually was here on the weekend.
A team that they want.
NRL.
They want us to adopt. Adelaide,
that's right.
To adopt the Roosters.
Yeah. Now, he was front and centre in the Essendon drugs saga. Actually got paid out $1 million, mind you. He's probably come out better than just about anyone out of the whole situation. Got paid out $1 million, the weapon. So,
but is it true that his brother is the coach at the Roosters?
I think it is, Dits. But, you know, still doesn't quite sound right, does it?
No.
I don't think so.
No. Anyone that came out of the Essendon hierarchy, I'm sorry, but they're tarnished. And if you came for a job, if one of them rolls up the Crows or whoever you barrack for out there and you go, yeah, I was at Essendon. Oh, but look, we've moved on from that. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's on their resume, isn't it?
Interesting stuff. Another power bill story. A family business, had it for 38 years. Now, you can imagine how much heart and blood and sweat and tears you've put into a business for 38 years. Mm. Their power bill has gone from $80,000 a month, right, which is a big power bill, $80,000 a month to $180,000 a month. So for the mathematicians out there, it's $100,000 a month times 12. That's $1.2 million extra. Their bill's gone up in a year.
How on earth can anyone, how does someone justify that? Whoever we're talking, you know, again, I'm so confused by who we're meant to be taking these cases to, Ruth.
Taking the frustrations head on.
Yeah, government or whoever, I don't know who, the feds. How on earth can that happen in small business?
So that's a recycling business,
medium business.
35 employees that are out of work and the, you know, the owners, the family's probably gone broke, which would just be a disaster. So it's just shocking. It's just horrible.
This is an easy throwaway line.
It will happen everywhere.
Is it time for a Royal Commission into our power?
I don't know. I just want the politicians to do their job. Surely they understand this is going to happen everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah.
We said our pub bill was going up 50%. His has gone up 100 and something percent there.
But just quickly, when I say a Royal Commission, right, Polly's are very clever at saying, oh, but it was the previous government or someone. Like people have said, oh, John Olsen in his day, he was the one that privatised all of this. So we can keep pointing the finger. I wouldn't mind some
just
sort of
someone
commission
work it out.
Come out and say, along the line here, where did this go wrong and why are these stories now raising their heads? So can we actually do something about this?
Yeah, it's not good. Speaking of going broke, Channel 10, they're in administration for 6 months. They've been put in, so they've got 6 months to sort out who's going to buy it or who's going to try and save it, but they put into administration yesterday.
Yeah, the day they shifted Simpsons to Channel 11, they've never been the same.
Wasn't a smart move.
Wasn't,
cost them dearly.
Yeah.
And that's our top
four. That's what's making news?
Yeah.
Righto, good effort, Roo. Hey, in a moment, we are leading up to June 30. What do we need to do right now? Because this affects me. My wife was on the phone to me 10 times yesterday about our super. We've got to do this week. I'll do that. And a lot of it's confusing. Let's find out exactly what we need to do in the build-up. Well, we've got a couple of days to go, haven't we?
104.7 Triple M.
Tex!
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home.
Oh, he's here to face the music. Good morning, Tex.
Morning, Diff.
Gee, I felt for you the other night, and I mean that sincerely. It was one of those games, skill-wise, both teams just couldn't get it right, kicking to the opposition all night. But tell me, was it the pressure, was it the setup of both teams, or just a terrible night for kicking? What was it?
Oh, probably all of the above.
Yeah.
They put on some pressure, and then probably in the end we thought the pressure was there, but it wasn't. And in the end, we pretty much beat ourselves.
Slow start again.
Slow start, yeah. It wasn't too bad. We ended up coming in at quarter time. I think it was the scores were level, or we might have been down by a goal. And we weren't playing pretty footy, but that doesn't bother us. And obviously our second half was pretty disappointing. We weren't able to grind it out and play ugly and get the win.
But you're much better than that. What,
we are.
This is only one game, the one against Hawthorn, but I would argue, and I think a lot of people are saying, you've actually been in about a seven-week slump from the start of the season. If you look at the games you've lost
since
over the last...
North Melbourne.
I mean, do you're looking at me like you disagree with that totally.
Oh, I think obviously we've had our three losses in that period of time, and we haven't been able to play like fast attacking footy. And in finals footy, it isn't going to be like that. So we need to come back and take a step back and enjoy the challenge. That when it gets really ugly and yuck, that we're able to win like that. Because in the first 5-6 weeks we were able to win different ways, and for whatever reason we haven't been able to do that the past 5-6 weeks.
So how's that going to change, Tex? Because if you play like you have so the last 8 weeks where you're up and down, in finals you got to win 3-4 in a row to win the big one, otherwise you just get knocked out. So how's it been discussed that you need to bridge the gap between your bad games and your good games?
Well, first off, you need to recognise the difference between your best and your worst, and we know that. And the probably disappointing thing is that we've been able to produce such high quality football, and our fans have quite enjoyed that. And we just haven't, the three games that we've lost over the past, Melbourne, Geelong, and now Hawthorn, we just weren't able to grind our teeth and get our knees dirty and play that way. So it just comes back to training, Roo. We've just got to train it. And it's not habitual for us at the moment to win that way. But we as a group, we've had a discussion and we're up for it. So there's no shying away.
What you want to do is be like, say, Geelong on Sunday when they were 34 points down, they had three blokes injured, but they still found a way to win ugly against Freo when they probably should have never won that game, but they got up and won the game. That's what you need to do, and that's what everyone wants the Crows to do. So that's the sort of challenge for the second half of the year, to start winning those sort of games.
Well, that's a perfect example of Geelong going down, Selwood going down the first minute of the game, then obviously losing a couple of other players, and
it wasn't
on their terms, but they found a way to win, and that's what we need to do.
But Tex, early in the season you were doing, the GWS game stands out as the example, and a very good team, and you were down against them. And you beat them. Port Adelaide, you had to fight from behind a bit. Not as far down, but you did it against them. So a couple of quality sides there that early in the season you were doing that against.
Yeah, exactly right. And we've just got to, as I said, train it and we'll be fine. Mm. We'll get back on the horse.
You're very confident.
Yeah, I'm confident because I know I've got a group underneath me that want to and can do it. So it's not that I'm asking our footy team to do something that we can't do.
Yeah.
It'd be a totally different conversation.
But you haven't arrested it for a few weeks.
Yeah, I know that. And we haven't, by chance or by luck, just fallen into second spot.
I think what happens when you win the first six games in a row is everyone dissects your game. They've had a look at it and they've got on top of you for that thing. The good news, as I said to Ditz yesterday for you guys, is you've got the rest of the season to work through it. And then when finals come around, if you can play ugly and play your good style, then you're armed and ready to go for finals. Because what other sides will do now is look at Melbourne. Now that they're starting to get a bit of positive news, they'll look at Port Adelaide. A lot of sides know how to play GWS or know how they would like to play against GWS and try to beat them in their own style. So I think it's a positive if you understand your weaknesses at the moment, so you can work on them. So you don't.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen in September, because when you get beaten in September, you're out. Generally,
you've got no second chance. But you know, Ditz, when you're at the top of your squash games, players wanted to challenge you and pick where your weaknesses were. That's the spot we're sitting in at the moment.
Ditz didn't have one.
What was your weakness in squash?
Tough?
I'll have to think about it. Text and come back to you.
Or what was your strength? Was it forehand, backhand?
All round.
Drop?
All round. Mental strength.
Mental
strength.
Toughness. Fitness. Yeah. Intimidation.
Yeah. Now, look, we'll go to the break with a positive, Text.
Yeah.
Run us through that goal. 70 metres out. Off one step, bang.
Yeah, well, I had to do something. took a nice mark, Ditz.
Actually, I must say, I applaud. I spoke to you at the pub the other day. I applauded that when you outmarked Puopolo in the pocket. I thought that was outstanding. The tallest bloke. No, the tallest bloke.
You said we're going on a break with a positive.
Come on, pick a bigger target than that, would you?
Jeez.
Hey, come on, I'm trying to make you laugh.
Come on,
Ditz. He's 5'8".
Yeah, I know. He's the smallest bloke on the ground. text your dad. I've got this one. Everyone, leave it to me.
Poppy.
Lynchy, get out of the way. I've got this one.
Well, I deem if I do, I deem if I don't. If I dropped it, you would have been into me. If I marked it,
get onto the fence.
Let's get some dad jokes happening.
No, that was mark of the year, seriously.
Good call in yesterday, too. We're going to replay that in a minute.
All right, in a moment, one with Tex and the dad joke. Ruined Tits for breakfast.
Tex! On 104.7 Triple M. That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers...
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Sorry, Tex still in the studio. A lot of people have got questions to ask about the Crows at the moment.
They have, but you rang in yesterday. Very funny stuff, Tex.
This German bloke up in Harndorf.
Mm-hmm.
No, this bloke has taken all the German contacts out of his phone in Harndorf.
Yeah.
He wants his phone to be hands-free.
Yeah, hopefully Tex has got another one for us in just a moment.
Yes.
Tex, hard question for you. Everyone's dissecting you and wondering, you know, why did you lose to Hawthorn and why has the form been down over the last few weeks? Are you getting enough out of your midfield?
Yeah, I wouldn't just say our midfield, but I think across the board we need a lift from every single line, forwards, mids and backs. So I wouldn't leave it just to the midfield.
But it is set in footy now that if the midfield win and they can get out of the middle quickly and kick long and direct to three big forwards like yourself, Lynch and Jenkins, that everything will be fine. So maybe the midfield isn't delivering.
Oh, well, on the weekend we weren't able to finish their hard work. So I don't think it's just the midfield. As I said, I think it's across the board that we need to lift in some key areas that we hold in high regard in our lines.
What about yourself again? Now, we asked you last week about the criticism of you, and you laughed at it. You said, oh, don't even listen to it. Don't even worry about it.
Mm.
This week, the likes of Gary Lyon have weighed in.
He's got the captaincy on his shoulders. I think he's become so enamoured with team footy and bringing others into the game that I think it might have diminished his ability to want to be that man. You know, what you're saying, that man that we're talking about, I don't think Taylor wants to be that man because it's about bringing others into the game, it's about giving goals off, about all that sort of stuff.
Don Pike should have a talk to him.
What the hell does he mean by that? Mm. I reckon that doesn't even make sense.
I feel, though, for Tex, these are the sorts of things you have to listen to.
Yeah, but you don't have to listen to that. That doesn't
even
make sense.
This is the speculation, though, that goes on out there, how the game is scrutinised. But are you too unselfish?
I'd rather be too unselfish than someone saying that I'm too selfish.
Good answer.
That's not costing us anything at the moment. I mean, what Tex would be unhappy with is dropping marks that you dropped at the start of the game. You dropped probably three marks that you could have taken, and they would have been shots on goal. And you'd like to be able to influence games when the game's on the line in the second half.
Yeah.
But it can be hard as a key forward if you're a little bit out of form to be able to do that. So
I think it can be, but it's also if you want to go and do something, you can. So, I'm not in the best form of my life, but I don't think I'm in the worst form. So I couldn't care less what Gary said.
Fair enough.
Just got to get out and do it. Carlton this Saturday afternoon is a big game. They've been going all right, the Double Blues. And obviously Brendan Bolton, an ex-Hawthorn man, he'll have all the info about what they did and how to do that. And they play a little bit similar to some of the sides that have beaten us, a defensive style of game, players behind the ball and try and block it up a little bit. So it gives you another opportunity to win ugly.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, if you can win however you want, but if it has to be ugly, then we'll try and win ugly. But they're playing some good footy, Carlton, so it's not going to be an easy task over there. So we don't get over the G that often, which will be nice for us to get over there and hopefully come away with
four points.
Gave
them a touch up there last year?
Yeah, we did. But a little bit of personnel change for them.
They're a bit better, I think,
A little bit better than last year.
Final question, Tex. After the loss last week, Roo said, this is against Hawthorn, Roo said that you've got one tall too many.
Playing one tall too many at the moment. I stand by that. I'd say one tall or two slow players.
What do you think,
too
Tex?
Many.
Am I one of those slow players?
You're a slowish player, but you're not one I'd get rid of. for the week.
That's good.
Yeah,
I'm safe.
Yeah. So you're on board.
I'm safe.
Now, if you have a look at a lot of teams, Dits, they're playing very small forward lines, very small, so that you can put pressure on the opposition. So when the ball hits the ground, it can't run out. At the moment, there's a couple of things happening with the Crows. We've got a couple more big fellas because Otten was been in great form and they kept him in the side. Plus, opposition sides are playing a loose man in our forward line, so we're having one less forward. And we've got one extra tall, slow forward.
But when
forward,
the ball hits the deck, haven't you got Eddie Betts, Charlie Cameron, Miller?
But then you've also got Tex, Jenkins, Lynch, Beach, Otten, potential, that aren't all super fast. Nothing against all of them, but you can't have too many. Like, you can't have too many of those types in your midfield.
You agree?
Oh, I'm not sure whether I'll agree totally, but it's something that we'll probably have a look at during the week. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I'll be shocked if there's not a change in that area. I don't know anything about footy if there's not a change. Right there.
All right. You heard it right here. Now, to finish off with, what have you got for us there, Tex?
Well, Ellie Coupler went into church the other day, Dits, bumped into you, and the wife turned to the husband and said, I've just done a silent fart.
Ooh.
What should I do? And the husband says, put some new batteries in your hearing aid.
Ah, beautiful. I like it, Tex.
Jeez, you seemed like you liked it.
I did.
Come on, give me a little.
That was brilliant. I loved it. That was fantastic. No worries.
Hey,
Tex Walker joins us for Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle, our house, your home. Tex, let's hope you can get back on the winners list this weekend.
Yeah, let's hope.
Give us a big 75-metre bomb on the MCG.
Righto.
Good on you, mate. Tex Walker.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point! Pressure point!
Ruined Dits. Pressure test.
I'll tell you who the pressure's on this morning.
You.
Leo James. Our work experience boy from Saini
Nation. He's not under pressure.
No, he is, because he's come up with this topic. I said, hit me with a topic, and he's come up with it. So, Leo.
He's pretty confident. Yeah. He's on Twitter. He should be working loud, not on Twitter too, by the way. Yeah. Just
Get us another coffee. Who's our contestant, Roo?
We've got Greg from Brooklyn Park. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, boys. How are you?
How are you, buddy? You feeling well? Feeling excited?
Yeah, very, very excited this morning.
Oh, yeah? What are you up to today?
Well, I've got to drop my son at childcare in Myland, and then I've got to head up to Sterling to drop my daughter to school.
Sterling?
What are you, daddy daycare today?
Yeah, but it's daddy daycare, mate. Bit of shared care, so you've got to do it.
Now, you live at Brooklyn Park. I don't know if there's a personal story involved here, but Brooklyn Park and your daughter goes into Sterling.
Oh, Detective Dits.
Yeah, well, there was a bit of a breakup.
Right, no, that's right. I didn't want to go into that. I thought, no,
what
that's all right.
Think,
that's all right.
He just likes to drop kids
off
in
Sterling.
No, I
thought there might have been a real, real special school up there that her daughter wanted to go to or something like that. I don't know.
It is a great school.
There you go. Glad we got to the bottom of that, Roo. I want to leave here. I'm picking up one kid from Christie's Beach and the other from Elizabeth North. I mean, that happens. You know. That's what goes on.
You got a helicopter, mate.
I have.
It's used to travel far and wide.
Righto, Greg, let's get back on track here. I want you to win $500 because it sounds like you've got a petrol bill. Now, 10 things in 30 seconds. 10 things you can be afraid of.
The dark.
Yep.
Ghost. Monsters. Heights.
Who?
Heights.
Yep.
Sharks. Crocodiles. Spiders. Snakes. Car crash. Commitment.
Commitment, yeah.
I like it.
Did I win it on the last one?
You did.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Good on you, Greg.
Well done, Grego. We're all scared of commitment, mate.
That's the comment of the week.
That is fantastic. Bloody beauty.
That's why I'm single, mate.
Now, can I just tell you something? Tex Walker's waiting in the wings to come on next, and he's punching the air for you, Greg, because he said to me in the break, he goes, you can be scared of cars. I said, you can't be scared of cars. That's not going to be it. But car crashes.
Car crashes.
There you go. So Tex is very, very happy.
Beautiful.
Good on you, Greg. Start on the line.
Have a good day, Greg.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Up next.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, thanks to Adelaide Tools. Five great locations, which are, Roo?
Lonsdale, St Mary's, Paraka, Gawler and Mile End.
That was five in 5 seconds. That's worth $250.
That's right.
Well done. Hey, Roo, in this modern world of viral media, social media, often I'm not on it, but I don't know you're not, but our wives show us some gems here and there from time to time.
Sure do.
So there's a video doing the rounds at the moment, which caught my eye the other day. Kate showed it to me. Things you would never ever say to your mum.
Mum, where does this go?
Mum, can you brush my hair?
Mum, before I put this away, do you need anything ironed?
You were right again, Mum. Turns out I did need a jacket.
No, Mum, sit down. I can get myself a drink.
Mum, school swimming sports today. Are you and Nana going to come and help out?
Mum, if you think of anything that we forgot to discuss, just write it on my Facebook wall.
Mum, have we got any glad wrap? I'm full, but I don't want this to go to waste.
There's a million of them.
Yeah,
Mum,
yeah.
I'll make my bed.
Yeah,
all that exactly. Stuff. It goes on and on. They're very, very funny. That one goes for quite a while. But your good mate, our good mate, Lawrence Mooney, he did one as well, didn't
he? Yeah, suburban footballer, things that you wouldn't hear on a footy field.
Finally, boys, look, if I get a decision wrong out there today, let me know. I've got a very thick skin, all right? And if I don't hear you the first time, call me a f***wit. That always works.
Hey, what is this giving off to a player running past? I've told you, U-turn every opportunity. U-turn. What is this punching from behind? I want bums on seats. Go for a specky every time. Get some hang time, brother.
There you go. That's the coach talking to the players. He came up with another one too. There was, he said, not so much voice out there. We got the players' concert tonight.
The karaoke on.
Save your voice.
if you listen to me, Dits, at odd times during the year, you'd hear, these are a few things you wouldn't hear.
So
me
things
say.
Ruin Dits would never ever say. Right, Roo?
Oh, you want a jumper signed? Yeah, no, I'll go down to the club and get all 42 signatures for it. No worries. That's okay. Yeah, you want me to pay for the jumper as well?
Yeah.
Yep, not a problem.
Righto. No, you're good like that, Roo. Gee, the AFL Rules Committee are doing such a good job, Roo.
Yes, we heard that only last week. Tickets for the showdown? Yeah, no worries. How many do you need? Just the six? Yeah, no, that's okay.
Make it eight.
It's a Port home game, but I'll ring Keith Thomas and make sure I can get your six in. No problems at all.
Oh, God. Hey, Roo, if Port miss out, I really hope the Crows go all the way.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Diz. You're not one-eyed. You're purely South Australian, aren't you? Do you want me to do a fundraiser on Saturday night? Yeah, no worries. What, just for an hour at 8 o'clock? Yeah, okay, that'll be fine. Yeah, I've got nothing else on the weekend. That'll be perfect.
You're good like that. You give and give and give and give. Sav Blanc, no thanks. I've already had plenty this week.
Sav Blanc, don't limit it to Sav Blanc. Just say wine.
All right. Shiraz, no, I had a couple
on
yesterday.
On a Wednesday?
Yeah, don't be silly.
No, it's a school night. Hell, I've got to go to the gym and get to work on time in the morning.
Yeah. Roo, if I was to have one of those special dinner parties, I'd really like to invite Andrew Bolt and George Pell.
Your two favourite people, absolutely, Dins. No, I would never hear you say that.
Every time, Roo, I go to change the sheets and the quilt, Kate's just beaten me to it.
Oh, you'd be a good bed maker. Haven't you got a rule at your house? Last out has to make it.
Yeah. So you know how I beat that rule? Just stay in
breakfast
there.
Breakfast radio.
No, just stay in there.
Oh, for 24 hours. Yeah. Have a bender.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Anyway, stupidity, things that you would never hear us say. 133353, what have you got for us?
We've got some footy tickets to give away. It's
we
Port
have.
Port v the Tigers. This is a top four clash. Who would have thought you'd say that last year?
Unbelievable. Things ruined it would never say, or it could be a good one about yourself.
Yeah. Yes, we sort yourself. Of,
133353, tickets to the footy for our best one. Triple M. Things that ruined it, or any of you out there would never, ever say.
Never say.
Yeah, tickets to the footy for our best caller. Let's, what have we got?
Let's go to Semaphore. G'day, Tracy.
Hey.
Hello, Tracy. What's yours?
Yeah, good. Coming from Dits, sorry guys, I was really wrong about that.
Come on, Tracy.
Do you know Dits, Tracy, do you?
Yeah, unfortunately no, but I do listen to him often enough.
All right, fair enough. Sure, that's not my wife, Kate.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Hang on, this is Dits.
Ralph, I was ruined. Kind of stuck in my throat there. Ralph, look. I was
Fonzie.
Righto, Tracy. I'll take that feedback on board.
Take it on board.
Yeah,
you've never had that before. Let's go to Gawler. G'day, Corey.
G'day, guys. I've got one for Dit.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Carrot cake, that'll never go to my bum.
No!
Oh, come on.
That's the manager of Argo there, Dit's ringing in as well, where you were spotted a couple of weeks ago. Jeez, you can't do much in Adelaide, can you?
I found the other day at Argo, the first two bits I had didn't go to my backside, maybe the third bit.
Yeah. Good stuff. Oh. Yeah. 5,000. We got another one.
I think we better send Tracy off to the footy.
Send Trace off. It's good. Yeah.
No, then again, I was wrong. I'm going to send Corey off to. No, I'm only kidding.
No,
I was only kidding. Tracy, you're off to see Port and Richmond. Well, what a game it'll be! Thanks to the Port Adelaide Footy Club for the tickets too.
A massive game Saturday night. Let's hope we can get a massive crowd too, Port Adelaide fans. Let's push 50,000 up against Dusty Martin's mob.
Sir Splashes weighed in with Roo. Hey, Josh Carr, do you want a beer? My shout.
My shout. Yeah, I'd shout him a beer.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, Glenn Archer's in the news. Yep. And on the surface, it reads as a pretty bad story. But you know Glenn Archer very, very well.
I know him very well, and he's a terrific person. He obviously is a bit fiery and very passionate, but he's a fantastic person, no doubt about that. And he's in the AFL Hall of Fame. Not that that means anything to do with that he wouldn't do anything wrong. But, you know, he was in Adelaide the other night. I had a good chat to him and know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
But this story is a story that, you know, most parents have probably either seen or witnessed or been part of reluctantly or whatever.
Or thought about doing.
Yeah, or thought about doing. But when you're at a kid's sports game and something is not going right and perhaps even the umpires can lose control of the contest and you've got angry parents from another side or from your own side, it's a difficult situation to know when to be involved, when try and help out or whether to stand back or do whatever. I'm only very early days and my kids are only just started and I haven't been involved in it. I've been involved as a kid where you see parents getting too involved and it's a frightening thing when you're a little kid.
Mm.
But this situation just sounds like it got out of control unnecessarily. Don't you think, Dits?
Well, on the surface,
Glenn
Archer's standing there, and the way I saw him explain it on 7 News last night was he said, I saw a boundary umpire manhandle a kid, and I said, that's not on. I leapt jumped the fence and intervened.
Was the boundary umpire or the
runner? No, but then a runner has come in, but it started because of the boundary umpire.
Right.
Runner's then come in, and obviously he and Glenn Archer have had a bit of a set to. He's denying punching the bloke.
Yep.
And Glenn Archer, in fact, has had his sunglasses broken. So they've been knocked off his head.
Yep.
How, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many questions to ask. Should Glenn Archer have jumped the fence? Now, Roo, you've got 6 kids. I asked you this earlier. You're starting out in their sporting journey.
Yep.
Something will happen one day that is going to rile you.
Yeah, and it wasn't even Archer's kid, by the way, just for people out there, was it? It was just another kid in the team.
Yeah, you'll see things every week that, look, if kids are out there and they
he's come out and said he shouldn't have even got over the fence.
Yes, he has said that. He's admitted that.
Yep.
But let's take Glenn Archer out of this. And I know, look, a club that I'm associated with down the port, a parent's been banned for life for running onto the field and getting involved with a kid from another team. So he should be. But when you read this on the surface and it says parent jumps the fence and man handles runner, I mean, that can be a life ban. But then we read in and we go, oh, it's Glenn Archer, and oh, okay, there wasn't much in it. I'm just saying it doesn't read well.
No, doesn't read well. And we don't know exactly what happened, but it's bloody hard not to get sucked into trying to help out, defuse the situation, especially if you think you're more experienced than anyone else to be able to handle it. But
People will always come up to you at junior sport if it's getting out and say, hang on, we've got the coaches here and the umpires, it's their job, leave it to them. But it's still very difficult when
and
you've
that's
got a
probably
load
what
of,
he was doing, I would say.
Load of parents standing around, not getting involved. So at times I sympathise with some parents, but you cannot condone running onto a field and, doing what he did. But he denies punching the fella. Now, he's been charged with assault.
Yeah, and I would back him in 100%. Arch, if he's come out, if he's fronted up to the media, come out and said that he shouldn't have jumped the fence and admitted that, but then if he said, I didn't punch him at all, I pushed him, I'd back him in 100% for sure.
Roo, one day, just speaking,
not that it matters
speaking
much.
Personally, my son would have been 10 or 11 years of age, and I saw someone do something very, very dirty behind the play to my son. That is when it tests you.
Yeah, absolutely it would be.
And I'll tell you why it tested me.
And that's
because I know the kid was told to go and I saw this happen. So it was the coach of the other mob that I really, really wanted to attack.
In what age group?
Oh, they're about 11 years old.
Oh, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. So what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, I could think of a few things, but I wouldn't go out there and physically do it. But who knows? I can't say I wouldn't do anything.
All I'm saying is it's very hard at times.
Oh, it would be for sure. Real absolutely.
133353. If you've been in this situation, please let us know. If you've been in the Glen Archer situation or you've seen it, as I said, I really sit on the fence with this because I can understand I would probably want to do it like Glen Archer did, like you would want to do it too, Roo. If you saw something real bad like that, you want to jump the fence.
Well, you want to sort it out, don't you, in the right way, but you don't want to make matters worse either.
No.
What's happened here.
Would you like to comment on this? 133353. Please give us a call at Triple M.
Roo and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, Roo, on the surface, we'd think Glen Archer's done the wrong thing at this junior footy game over the weekend, but I don't know, when you scratch the surface, has he really?
Let's go to Andrew's farm. What do you think, Alan?
Mate, hi, Roo, how are you, Andy?
Good, Alan.
I don't personally understand a lot of the ways that the coaching actually happens. Now, if this was a coach, if this was a boundary umpire that was handling a child from the side and the Archer stopped him from doing it, I don't see a problem with it. I had an incident many years ago, about 8-10 years ago, with my son's school football team, where they were in an affluent area, and we came from an affluent area, I'm not going to mention any names, as I was asked not to, where the coach and the parents were telling their side to kill our kids.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
Go out there and kill them were the words that were said.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're referring to the scoreboard, and that's all you'd hope so there. But, some things can be taken out of context a little bit, Ditch, you would have thought, can't they, on a sporting field, you'd hope.
I don't think there's going to be 18 murders on the field. I don't know. You've got to take it in a little bit of context, don't you?
Yeah. G'day, Dave.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Good, Dave. You got a story for us?
Yeah, well, I just believe that, mate, him being a hard nut and at the ground, I believe that the whole concept changes when an umpire that's, you know, booked to look after our guys, our kids playing the game, makes contact in the way of a strike or whatever against a player. Right, that's not on. The boundaries have been breached.
Mm.
Now, I wouldn't care if it was your kid, Roo, or your kid, Ditz. If it was me, I would have done the same thing.
Mm. Yeah, it's very hard to understand exactly what happened and what you do. So,
yeah. Got an anonymous caller coming in this morning. Hello.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
Hey, listen, I actually used to coach junior football. It's a very, very treacherous affair. As far as I coached a team in the under-12s, we had an incident where a team's opposition boundary umpire has king hit one of our players.
Oh,
what?
No.
Boundary umpire's king hit someone?
King hit him. I wasn't I wasn't out of the field at the time because my son was in the change rooms awaiting an ambulance himself for a separate incident, which there's nothing malice in it. Then they came in and wanted the stretcher, and I'm like, what's going on? He was screaming and yelling, so I've gone outside, and it was just on. There was parents, kids. We had another one of our kids, king hit from one of their players. It got separated. But the point with that is we have umpires on the field, even in junior football, that are 12, 13 years old now.
Yeah, they're very young.
It's hard for them to sort of separate that kind of thing. To be honest,
and they're too frightened to do it.
Exactly. But I think the Archer thing, I think, has been media hype. I see it every weekend. My child's still involved in football in the 16, and I see it every week. But it is very, very hard not to get involved. I will say that.
Yeah,
but, you know...
It does happen.
The reason I got out of it was because of the parents. I've been threatened from the boundary line by parents from my side.
Yep. They can drive you nuts.
Side.
It's a great club, don't get me wrong.
No, it's ridiculous though, isn't it? How some parents carry on like they play for
you got all this ahead of your room. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
Matt at Brickworth. G'day, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, good, fellas. How are you?
G'day, good, thanks.
Matt.
What would you like to say?
Well, I mean, they talk about banning parents from sport. I mean, if the umpires touch a child, I mean,
we shouldn't even think about banning the umpire from umpiring games.
Yeah, definitely.
I've coached junior footy myself, not in Brinkworth, but I mean, we have a code of conduct as coaches. And obviously, the umpires have a code of conduct too, and that would cover not touching players or having arguments with coaches or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, you know, why is, I mean, has the umpire been chatted to about touching the kid?
Well, there's no story in that, unfortunately. Every chance the umpire's going to be disciplined or spoken to, we don't know. It's, you know, they just write it about Glenn Archer.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
50% off Zinzi Silver Rings. Karen's of Hyde Park. 183 King William Road.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Oh, they're in fine fettle this morning. Mel the Button Pusher. We've got Alice the Wagon and Yummy Mummy married to Mr. South Australia. Righto, speaking of wags, Alice, tell us about the lady that's written the book out of Melbourne. Who is she?
Cassie Lane. So yes. She dated Didac for a couple of years way back when, Collingwood player. Was my favourite player of all time. I was totally obsessed with him and I cried when he started dating her.
Right. Now, she in her book, there was an excerpt from it in the weekend paper. It was quite interesting reading, but she said that all little girls dream of, you know, growing up and marrying a famous footballer or someone famous. Seriously, now Mel the Button Pusher, does she speak for you?
No, she does not.
No, I didn't think so.
No, Cassie. Shush.
Yeah.
But what about your friends and people you know? I mean, is there an obsession with girls that, oh, he's good looking, he's famous, he's rich, you know, wouldn't it be nice to marry him?
Well, I didn't grow up in a footy state, so it was certainly not wags. And regardless of that, I didn't grow up with people who wanted to be famous or well-known for who they were married to.
Mm.
I thought all of my friends probably wanted to be known for being successful in their own right. She went on to say
that when she was a wag at the Collingwood Football Club, she would be at games and young girls would come up to her, idolising her, saying, oh, I want to be you. You're with Alan Didac. I want to be you when I grow up.
I think that might be this particular girl living in a bit of an alternative reality.
Right.
Yeah.
Slash, that was me going up to her saying
she didn't name you, Alice, but I read between the lines. No, but Alice, what's your take on this? You are a wag here locally.
Yes. When I started dating Joel, I actually didn't know he was a footballer.
No, I know that.
So
I should point that out.
That wasn't a reason why I dated him.
He actually was playing for some suburban mob in Melbourne, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he was a real nobody.
He was plucked from obscurity. So we got to give Wag a bit of credit here. She didn't jump on the bandwagon.
Wag a bit of credit.
No, she wasn't a gold-digging wag.
No. She's called Wag.
Yeah, that's my name.
No, it's the irony of it. But,
I think the main thing that comes with being a wag now is that you almost become social media famous because all the girls follow you.
Mm.
So I think that's a massive thing why girls want to be a wag at the moment.
What they want to be big on Instagram, do they?
Yeah, because once you're big on Instagram, you don't really have to work because people pay you to put up photos and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What number wag are you in the hierarchy?
In the hierarchy at South, I'd probably say number two.
Oh.
The captain's
so
wife,
you're not far off
she has
one.
A baby, she's number one, she's been around a bit longer than me, right. Then I'm probably number two.
Oh.
Yeah.
And there are girls listening right now saying, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
You think you are.
You're a mole.
You think you are, but you're not.
Yeah, but I keep missing the start of games due to them being Sunday games and me being a little bit dusty, so I'm slowly dropping down the ladder.
Ruth, question to you. Good. As a senior player and a champion of the game, you would have seen many, many different wives, partners, girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any that you put into that category of they are here for the wrong reasons? Or was it generally pretty good?
I'd be lying if I said no.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did it cause problems along the way?
Not really.
No?
No. It sorted itself out relatively easily.
This is a serious question. In this excerpt that we read on the weekend, Cassie said that Eddie Maguire one day addressed all of the wags. They were at a very big function, all dressed to the nines, and he called them all into a room and told them how they would act and conduct themselves because they were Collingwood wives and partners.
Yep. So what's the question, though? Is that
normal? Is that normal? Is that fair enough?
I think they'd be aware in modern times now with the media and the attention that they have, especially with mobile phones. I mean, if mobile phones are around in the 80s or 90s, there would have been a hell of a lot more stuff out there. But, wives and girlfriends not off limits these days for the media. So now, Ange, I can understand why he did it.
I've deliberately gone to you last because you clearly were ambitious because you married the package, Mr. South Australia.
Yeah, you're a
Mr. South Australia. Was it the title that he won? Was that what did it for you? Or?
Nah, this is the big muscles. No, seriously, back to the question. There are definitely girls out there that want and seek to be a wag. And, like, you know, they'll even, you know, go after married men. You see them hanging around the clubs and they just happen to be where the footballers are.
Mm.
So there is definitely people out there that their ambition is to be a wag or to be part of that set, you know, and to the point where they'll break up marriages, you know. Like, it's like, come on.
Mm.
Yeah, so.
So they're, in general terms, they'd be frowned upon in the female fraternity? You don't look at them very nicely?
I think so. And there's probably a couple around them will just go from player to player and different team to team. Like, I'm sure everyone's aware of them.
Any names for us? Or no, I'm kidding.
Don't go there.
Numbers.
Let's move on.
Can I just say, we were at a function. It was a Triple M function ages ago, and this girl said, it's my ambition to get through the whole, I won't say which team it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She was a bit pissy, and she's, you know, and she
did
just
she
said,
work for us here?
No.
It wasn't me.
I just want to know
it wasn't Wagner. No, and we were just like, "What are you talking about?" And so that was just one girl at one function.
Anyone
she's got
we know?
Goals.
She's got goals. Mm. Yeah, she's ambitious.
When you see, like, when if you're out on a Saturday night and you see the Port or the Crows boys are there because there's just a flock of girls around them.
Mm.
It's actually quite sad for them. They can't just go out and be normal.
No, they're not having a good time either.
No.
Middle children. We know that the first child gets sport and the last one can get sport. And the poor old kid in the middle gets nothing.
Misses out.
Is this reality or is it just an excuse when you've got a troubled middle child?
Mel.
I think it's true. I'm the youngest, though, and I think Ditz mentioned it earlier off air, we youngest. I think we're spoilt in that the older ones did all the hard yards, so they had to break down all the barriers and whatnot, so we get whatever we want and get to do things really easily. But there's no pictures of us.
No photos.
No.
That's all run out, bored with that.
Oh, they're sick of it.
For the time we come
along. Still got poo on your bum from not having it changed for 2 days.
But no, my best mate, she's a middle child, and she feels it keenly, just completely ignored. The oldest one, oh, my God, she's achieving this. The youngest one, he needs our support and our help, and you're
all right. Is she a natural whinger?
Oh, she's not this state. Yeah, it can be.
Alice the Wag.
My best mate's a middle child as well, and she's definitely a whinger because she's like, I'm so unloved. Everything's so unfair. She counts her Christmas presents and stuff.
Mm.
And she is the most spoiled.
What did you just say to Ditz before we come on air?
I think that I'm the least loved of the siblings. I've just got one older brother, but I feel like it's because he's 3 years older than me. So they've had 3 years to love him more than me.
Ditz, what's the truth?
Oh, I've never seen a more spoiled, doted on little girl than Alice.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Right, Ange?
Yeah, I was an older child, the first child, and my son, I reckon he had it hard, and now my daughter, Ava, she just gets the free ride. Mm. Like, he's broken the rules, you know, like, he's set the rules in, and even, yeah, now. So I feel sorry for that middle child because they would just get it worse.
Do
they
you
would
feel totally like you forgotten. Look after one more than the other or anything? Or you don't want to settle down?
I think my daughter, she probably should be a middle child because she's now just worked out she's got to be louder and more full on and just attention seeking to get the attention.
Well,
I think
you've been
she
the role
deserves.
Model there.
But my son's pretty chill.
Are you harder on your daughter than your son?
I'm probably harder on my
daughter?
Son. Yeah, still probably.
Are there less photos of the second child, do you think?
In the early, well, I don't know.
Are you
so
guilty
the first
of being a
child,
bad mother?
I'm like, oh my God. James, that poor child, especially that first 12 months of maternity leave, like Rob would come home and I've done like a full photo session and it was like 40 degrees heat and he's dressed up in all sorts of bear outfits and whatever. And then, yeah, but I was just a different personality. She just seeks, you know, like the attention. So there's probably more of her. But if there's a camera out now, she's like in front of it.
We've got a whole photo board of Sophie and then no photo board of any other kid.
There you go.
There'll be 20 photos on one board and then we haven't done it with any other kids.
Good on you. Thanks, Angels. Hey, by the way, thanks also to Karen's, great supporters of ours and everybody's. Karen's of Hyde Park, 183 King William Road, 50% off Zinzi Silver Rings right now.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:43, Ruined It's here, thanks to Adelaide Tools, and this morning we're reading in the Advertiser Roo another of those stories that just makes you angry. at the state, our parlous state of power here and the bills and the ongoing costs and something that we talk about every single day, yet nothing's changing.
I am really scared of what power's going to do in this state if we don't fix it in the real near future. If we don't fix it. This is an example. On page 4 of the Advertiser, family business, 38 years, it's been going for 35 employees in a recycling, specialised recycling a company. Just their power bill's gone from $80,000 a month, which is a lot, but $80,000 a month to $180,000 a month. Now, there's $100,000 a month extra times by 12 is $1.2 million extra a year. Now, that's $1.2 million off the bottom line. You have to be making $1.2 million a year before you can take that off. If you're making less than that, then obviously you're making a loss.
Now, this company is called Plastic Granulating Services. They specialise in recycling goods, all right, to be used for other means like tubing and piping. Is there an irony here where the whole of the world, and I'm speaking to the Greens this morning, a very good morning to all of you, who actually have been promoting and pushing us towards recycling for the last 50 years, which is what this fella and his family business does, and what do you know, it costs too much to do it.
Yeah, so we're using renewable energy for power, but and then we
can't afford to do it. So let's all recycle and go broke doing it. It's bloody ridiculous and ironic, and I really feel for this fella. Let's get him on now. Stephen Scherer, good morning, Stephen.
How are you guys?
Good. Stephen, are these figures in the paper this morning accurate? Just tell us how much your power bill will in fact increase.
Oh, well, it has already increased. Certainly 2 power contracts ago, it was about 6 cents for peak power, and that was equating to about $80,000 a month. And now it's about 20 cents, and it's equating to about $180,000 a month.
It's just so you can't do, there's only so much you can do with power, obviously, and then you just got to wear it. So did the government support you in any way? Did you ask for any help, or is there nothing to be gained out of any of that?
Oh, there's certainly nothing to be gained out of asking for support for power. I think we're all in the game where we just got to, fight our way through, different retail contracts. And, we even had a look at spot options and a few other things. It was two nasty choices, so we picked one.
Yeah.
We did ask for support because we have another project that is a low power usage option to do probably much more sophisticated recycling. And certainly play with the very worst of the consumer waste, not the very easiest stuff. So we were trending in that area, but we weren't able to get what we needed either in full or quick enough. And something that comes too late's too late. So
Steve, if your family's been in business for 38 years, you've got a very good handle on it. You must be pretty good at it if you've survived that long. And you know a lot about it. How many businesses can you see going bankrupt in the future through no fault of their own, just through rising power prices? It must be going to be huge amounts, isn't it, do you think?
If we won't have a manufacturing sector left in the country if we keep doing what we're doing. There's no question about that. When we start talking about, food not being able to be produced here because of power, you're getting back to some pretty basic conversations,
Well, that's third world, isn't it, really?
So,
Stephen, who do you speak to about this? I'm just wondering if there are many, many other business owners out there like yourself, like-minded people that are getting together. And I guess Business SA springs to mind, Nigel McBride and people like that. Are there a lot of those discussions taking place at the moment with those types of people amongst yourselves?
Oh, I think when you get hammered, you tend to get a bit introverted over it as well. When you're having to find $100,000 a month in cost savings, you're starting to look at a whole lot of...
That's disgusting, isn't it? Hey, the question me and Ditz were talking about, Steve, so you'd recycle plastics, right? What will happen now to that plastic that you're not recycling because your power bills are too high and you've got to shut your business down?
Well, because of where we've specialised, what we're doing, certainly out of this state, will have to go overseas. There's no one left.
So we're going to ship recycled plastic overseas to be recycled. Correct. If that makes sense.
Yep.
That doesn't sound too cheap.
The stuff that I find most disheartening is that we're going to ship our coal over there as well. and then we're going to let them make stuff and bring it back and then kill our manufacturing base in the second phase of that.
That is ridiculous, isn't it? We are shipping coal over there to coal-fired power stations, which emit in the same atmosphere that we don't choose to do here.
Right. There are a lot of...
We're having a discussion about ideology instead of a discussion about commerce.
Yep.
I mean, you can only, you mean, whatever rights and that we all have, the bottom line is you can only have what you can afford. And if we're daft enough to not be able to afford it, we ain't going to have it.
Stephen, thanks so much for sharing your story with us. This is ridiculous. It really is. Steve, we'll keep an eye on this. And thanks so much for talking to us.
No problems.
There you go. We're talking plastic granulating services out there in Kilburn. One of many, many stories. Roo, if I went into your pub today and bought a schooner or a pint for $8, but next week you say, no, it's going to be $18, we would be so enraged and up in arms. Why isn't the state enraged and up in arms about this? Why is nothing being done?
You've heard me and the tone in my voice talk about renewable energies for years. I'd love the planet. I'd love the river. I love South Australia. I want the state to be as healthy as possible. Don't get me wrong. And I've got kids and I'm going to have grandkids and all that sort of stuff. But it's just ridiculous what's going on at the moment with power prices. It's going to absolutely ruin parts of our economy, which will flow on to everybody. Like you say, you use the pub. The pub test is a great one to dumb it down for a beer or a schnitzel or whatever. They're going to be unaffordable.
If you say to me, oh, look, next week, sorry, that pint's up to $8.20, we sort of go, okay, they're putting it up 20 cents and that's inflation. But in real terms, what he's just had to put up with is it's gone from $8 to $18 for that pint. You can't do that. That is unrealistic. And who okays
what Thomas
these...
Foods are doing, one of the biggest employers. Where they're doing slaughtering animals there and abattoirs. What do you think their power bills are doing? What do you think Cokes are doing? What do you think Holden's would have done? What do you think all those places? They haven't got a big solar thing on their roof.
Bro, seriously, when I said to you earlier this morning about a Royal Commission, someone needs to get to the bottom of how this happened, why it was allowed to happen. Everyone's an expert, but like what...
imagine having a family business for that long and going through the hoop. I'd like to say a word there, but you'd be absolutely shattered. Your dad or your grandfather's created that business and you can't continue it on through no fault of your
own. Employing all these people, doing everything right, and the only thing crippling you is that power bill.
Yep.
How ridiculous. What sort of joint are we living in?
No, it's just weird. It's not good. And I know everyone's frustrated and the politicians are frustrated, but we need to sort out because it's going to wreck a lot of people.
It makes me think now, though, Roo, with the budget handed down last week and whatever they do federally at the moment, this is actually the number one issue for all of us. Forget everything else you're talking about right now.
Imagine a power bill in that hospital.
Please sort this out. This is our number one issue by a mile. Forget everything else for the moment. Put it on hold. We have to sort this out. And if you think that's an overreaction, well, if whichever suburbs you live in out there, wherever you work, your factory or your working place might just close down soon. That's why it's actually that important.
Yeah, absolutely.
It affects everyone.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.